Oh, it's nice to be here, Stephen G. My guest, Stephen G. Welcome to Highway Diaries. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach, playing guitar so smooth and fresh, Stephen G.
That's right.
What's cracking, homie?
Nothing much, buddy.
So, been on the show a bunch of times. We're actually kind of doing a re-edit, podcast. Because just because you put a podcast out doesn't mean you can't make it a little better and then put out a better version.
Right. Or if your previous version where you sounded like an idiot and you didn't like it, then you can just not
then
have
you can
it anymore.
Phone me up and be like, hey, man, let's make
hey,
this.
Man, let's make me look smart.
Right.
Yeah.
Going to be a lot of editing, a lot of post-production.
We're going to have as many effects as possible.
Let's talk about some sad news, actually. Recently, you were telling me that your friend Billy Spindler, I actually think I jammed with him one or two times.
Yeah.
Or hung out with him a little bit.
Yeah.
He was in Comedy Bigwigs with you, an improviser. And, you know, he passed away.
He did. It was very unfortunate. We were doing warm-ups together, the Comedy Bigwigs was, and then he had like a mild stroke in the middle of it, and then we had to
and
take
you
him to the hospital.
You at first were like, wow, you're committed to this movement and sound exercise, but then it was a seizure.
Yeah, oh god. To put it so bluntly, yes, but what it was basically we were playing Mind Meld, and they'd just gotten it on Ganesh. I think it was like Elephant and like India or something like that. And they got it on Ganesh and they were excited and I think it was him and like Russ and they like did the high five. And then after that, right afterwards, Billy just went down and was like, ooh, oh, this is not good. And we had to call the paramedics. And then he was fine talking at the hospital when we meant to visit him later that night. But he was, like, weak, of course. But then the next day, he had a brain hemorrhage because of the medication that was given to him.
So you think he got misdiagnosed?
Well, this medication was supposed to have, like, a 94% efficacy rate or something like that.
Right.
But then, like, 6% of people, I guess, have, like, a brain hemorrhage.
Right.
Unfortunately, as an adverse reaction to the drugs that they give. So and then he was in a coma for a few weeks, and then he passed, like, on the 28th or the 27th of December.
So, shout out to Billy Spindler and his family.
Yeah, he's from Indiana, and I hope that everybody's there, you know, is good. We had a memorial for him, you know, and it was good. We did improv at it, which I didn't know.
That is the best possible thing you
I guess
do.
I guess so, yeah. We did it, and, you know, we loved it.
Yeah.
So
I think, you know, people always have like one way a funeral, you know, you have that, they put the weird makeup on the person and they sit them up front and everyone gets a turn to talk in front of the actual body. But I mean, that's one way to do it.
True.
But, you know, actually my friend Will Nunziata was talking about, he gets together with and they all go to a bar once a year on the anniversary of his one roommate had a suicide, you know, so. So then all the friends just get together once a year at this bar, you know? That's a beautiful way to remember somebody. So, yeah, do an improv, man. Billy Spindler, I'm sure you're doing improv in the sky.
He's, he will be really missed. And he was really, I mean, he was just so joyful.
Yeah.
And, like, he never, ever, like, said bad about a single person.
Right.
He was so nice.
Talk about other things.
But he did die doing the thing he loved.
There you go.
That's true.
What else can you hope
for?
He
did. That was the last thing he did was fucking mind meld.
I always say this, like, if I hit 80, I think I'm gonna try to, like, break the record for, like, distance jump on a motorcycle.
Nice.
Because if I fail, it's like, whoa, you went out going for a world fucking record jump. And I'll be like, oh, how fast do I have to go? 300 miles an hour? Oh, fucking K. We'll see if I land it. If I land it, you fucking beat the record at 80.
That's awesome.
I'm going to be on a lot of steroids, though. You know what I mean? So just to, like, get me fired up, get my, I'll be juiced out of my mind. So look forward to that. But anyway, that's how I want to go out. Doctor Who Live. You were in a tournament with a brackets for Doctor Who improv. Very niche.
Yes, kind of it was the nichiest thing. That was a while ago.
What were the rules of regulations of this?
Okay, because the tournament was between who you thought should be the villain in Doctor Who. So, like, your favorite villains from your past episodes, like, the Daleks, or, you know, I forgot who won, but, you know, I didn't really watch Doctor Who that much, so right. I was so usually
you
lost.
Found yourself in this improv thing where everyone was in this inside joke that you had no idea
I had
about.
No idea about. And I knew I had no idea.
How do you find yourself in this competition?
Because, well, I wasn't in this, it wasn't a competition between anybody. It was just, we just were trying to get Facebook, like, ups and likes from people by having people vote on a poll. Every week, for like who they wanted the villain to be at our next show. So, you know, it was a little gimmick thing and it worked, I guess. It worked.
Nice. I'm asking you about it. So, you're we're recording this right now in your new place. You just moved here.
I just moved here.
And I was worried for you because you're like, oh, I got my bed and my couch and I'm going to shove it in my little two-door Honda or whatever. And I was like, how are you going to get it? But you got a guy who's partially an ex-con on crystal meth sometimes.
It was an ex-crystal meth guy. And he's found Jesus.
Right.
So he's cool.
And so he's got a truck and he's like, hey, you want to move stuff? I found Jesus. I might not bite eat your face on bath salts.
He was so good that I was originally going to pay him $50, but then I ended up paying him $100 just because he was so cool.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So did he teach you anything about his wronged ways in the past and how he changed his life?
Not really. He was just mostly talking about how wonderful life is now and how thankful we should be of the things we have now.
That's
and
good.
Like, he's really reformed. Like, right. He's really been through it. Like, I can tell, like, when somebody's still in it, you know, like, still kind of like struggling with the whole meth thing,
right?
But he really wasn't strung out at all. He was completely sober. I offered him a beer. He did not take it.
Oh.
So, mm-hmm. That's how you can tell. That's how you can...
He's on the wagon for
the,
legit.
Yeah.
So you offered the guy who was driving the truck around the beer, but he
at the end of the day.
We had
just finished. Right. Of course. That
one
weird.
Beer for the road. That's
No, I do not condone drunk driving.
You've always had roommates since you've been out here. Always live with somebody else.
Yeah, it's true. Ever since I was 8 years old. And now that I'll be alone, I think I'm going to make a lot of contraptions. I'm just going to make, like, Rube Goldberg devices around the house to help me. Like, you know, like, I'm going to try to do the Back to the Future thing and, like, have my alarm clock make my breakfast for me.
Right.
You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
Yeah. Like, I want... That's what I would love.
It's going to be spatulas on springs.
Yeah.
Like, with a chicken who once it drinks enough water from the...
Will hatch an egg naturally.
Yeah.
And
it'll go, pa-cock!
And then,
It'll hit a sideways spatula
and it'll crack the egg and it'll go into a frying pan, which, you know, was lit originally. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of this device.
Mm-hmm. By a wild monkey who was also awoken when a VHS container hit him on the head and woke him up.
I'm afraid of monkeys.
I want a pet monkey so bad. I can't tell you how much I want a pet monkey.
Really?
Can you imagine how amazing it would be to have a mini fridge and go, you know, Bon Bon, get me a beer. And then it would bring you a beer at the mini fridge. That's totally possible with a monkey.
You think so?
That's not possible with a dog. And if
That's
a dog
true.
Gave it to you with its face, you would
Actually,
be like,
there might be a
gross.
Dog who can give you beer. I saw it in a commercial once.
Yeah.
Commercials aren't real.
But they would. You would need to like put like socks over every single beer so that it would like not give you slobbery beer or whatever. I
right.
don't know.
Oh, that's true. I don't want a slobbery beer.
Yeah. So like, but a monkey has a little monkey hand. You go, you know what I mean? Sure, yeah, they should be in the Amazon, in the majestic, beautiful nature wonderland, but bags are floating around in there anyway. I might as well live like a frat boy and
you're going to give it a better life.
Smoking all the time.
Yeah. You're going to give it a better life.
You'll play it some educational videos
You'll
and
take
stuff.
It to some nice restaurants.
Maybe it'll learn to say a few words.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll teach it to use sign language.
Exactly.
Order itself a burrito or, you know, haggle for a good price on some skinny jeans.
All right. You've changed my mind about monkeys.
How cool would it be if you went down the street, like, you and the monkey, like, walked into a casino, both decked out in a fucking suit, custom-made suits. You know what I mean? He had a briefcase full of money. You sat at the table. He sat on your lap. He opened the briefcase. He slid it across the table. People, you are in fucking business already. How can you start losing? How can you start losing? It's impossible. That's what I want to talk about, poker.
What we're really doing right now is we're going to go play a little Texas Hold'em.
Yeah, that's what we do sometimes. We from time to time when we...
Now your dad's like, you know, theoretical physics professor, and his genius manifests through your body, through his genes, into being a badass poker player.
I don't think my dad could play poker very well. I don't know. I've never personally played poker with my dad.
Multiple intelligences.
My dad, like, can't cook his own pizza.
Right.
Like, he tried to cook a pizza once and then almost burned the house down.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think he'd be
very
good
at poker. With what apparatus?
With the oven. He turned on the left oven, which had a bunch of plastic in it for some reason.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to turn on the main oven, but he turned on the left
oven.
So
he just put the pizza in with the plastic on?
Yeah, it just started smoking. He's just like, Steven? And I had to come down there and get, like, a fire hose. Yeah, well, not a fire hose, but a fire extinguisher and just...
Those, if you're brainy enough, you just need a wheelchair. Look at Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? He just got his theoretical physics brain exploded.
Exactly. Just sit in a wheelchair, Dad. No problem. I'll take care of you. You do your little brain things. You do your little quantum what if you are here and maybe you aren't.
Of the cosmic microwave background, which is an imprint of the very early universe.
You go to Commerce Casino, you know, every now
and
then.
Off and on, yeah, off and on.
And you see the same kind of characters every time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's a whole cast of characters.
For sure.
And one guy that I see every time there, I'm not sure if it's Commerce or Bicycle, one of those, but the tremendously fat guy who has the pile of pork fried rice like fucking Mount Everest.
Right.
And...
Chuck. Yeah.
Name is Chuck. He was sitting at the table one time with me, and I remember him going, dealer, we just want to make sure that all the money's accounted for. Dealer, like his jowls are weighing down everything.
Chuck does that once in a while because he needs to make sure the money's right in the pot. These are, you know.
Well, yeah. Okay. So
thousands upon thousands of dollars at stake.
Well, more like
more
this
like
is
a
$8,
dollar, maybe
$2
a few here. Dollars, a couple dollars.
It's like how laborious
so
are all
true.
Your breaths?
Absolutely.
And the speed of his mind. Some people let themselves get to be like cartoonishly annoying. You know what I mean? Some people, like if you're a giant fat guy with a big plate of pork fried rice and you talk so and you're just complain about every turn card.
Honestly, Eric, I'm going to let Chuck be who he is and then just take his money when he gives it to me.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's some of the, there's some degenerates in there that are, you know, clearly, you know, banking last paycheck on this paycheck. And, you know, I also went through around my 28th birthday, which happened recently. I had a midlife crisis and I was going down.
That's a little early for a midlife crisis.
I had it. I got it out of the way.
Oh, you got it out of the way. Okay, early. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Great.
There's another place in Van Nuys that's like a poker academy.
That's correct.
That we went to one time and then they have kind of maybe illegal games in the back. I don't know. But, that's fun. But they're all.
We had the Poker Academy. Don't talk about the Poker Academy.
Oh, right. They,
doesn't exist.
There may even be some celebrities that drop in there every now and then.
Oh,
maybe.
You know, maybe the mover's there once in a while. Steve the Mover. Everybody knows him.
I actually recognized someone from the cast of Weeds when I went there.
Actually, I think I saw Chuck there once.
Chuck who? Oh, that blubbering fat guy?
Yeah, fat pork bread Chuck.
Yeah. You know exactly who I'm talking about. That guy is so annoying.
He's everywhere, though.
My guardian angel.
Yeah. He
sits around, gives you money when you need it.
Eric, when you're going into this meeting.
That's okay.
I want Taylor.
Taylor makes all the money.
It would be interesting if that was like your little Jiminy Cricket in your head, you know, if that was who was guiding you. Anyway, I saw a YouTube video today.
Francis.
Leave me alone.
Hey, Francis, what you doing?
Leave me alone.
Francis, you want to come open an early Christmas present?
Yeah, I do. Which one? Can I open this one?
No.
Which one do I open?
Open those ones.
Two?
Yeah.
Why two? Which one, this one? Is this going to be My Little Pony stuff? Oh my god, it's Luke! Oh my god, it's Luke Saber! Oh my god, this better not be that Qui-Gon Jinn shit. Oh my god, it's Vader's! Oh my god, it's Vader's! Oh my god, it's Vader's! Holy shit.
This other part of the video that I love where it's the most surreal thing ever because he has this brother who's got headgear on and he's like, you know, mentally ill and he gives him a lightsaber too and then he starts hitting at him.
Just don't hit your brother. Francis, leave your brother alone.
No. God damn it, point back. You're the worst Vader.
What just happened, Eric?
I'm just talking about YouTube videos I like. That make me happy.
Okay.
And it's also a comedy show, so cool. I can cut to any YouTube video.
I had no idea. I had no idea. That was such a non sequitur.
Do you have any YouTube videos that you really like?
Do I like any YouTube videos? There's so many YouTube videos that I've seen in my... How many YouTube videos do you think you've consumed in your life?
Ooh, that's a good question. And also, it's like we're electronically downloading it, you know? We're electronically consuming it.
We're not downloading
it,
we're streaming it.
Well, consuming is a weird...
Consuming is just... what we watch it, we spend the time, that's what we're, you know...
I'd say... I don't know, it's hard to estimate. 600? I don't know.
600? 600
YouTube
videos.
Maybe 1,000?
And how many times have you repeated YouTube videos, you know?
Yeah. There's one where it's just like a baby's walking down the garden and then the cat jumps out of nowhere and tackles it over.
Oh.
It's hilarious.
Man, I love YouTube videos.
Especially, I just hope that cat was declawed.
Yeah, that would suck otherwise.
Yeah.
You know, in America's Home Funniest Home Videos, like that show is now obsolete. It has completely been overrun by YouTube.
Now it's called
it
YouTube,
is,
yeah. They still have that show, but now they call it AFV, and it's hosted by that incredibly unfunny dude.
What's his name?
Nobody knows.
Tom Bergeron?
Just if there's like a game show host, it's probably
that guy.
You know what I mean? It's any B game show. That guy's
probably a really nice guy.
I'm sure he's fine. He's a great guy.
Probably a really nice guy. No need to be so mean, Eric.
I'm just tearing people down. That's what I do.
That's fine. That's what you do.
So you just came from a show.
I did.
At the I.O. West. Tell me about it.
No, it wasn't. It was at the Clubhouse, actually.
Ah.
It was for Catsby. And also, it was hosted by a team called White Women, which is actually just a bunch of black dudes.
Uh-huh.
Which is funny.
Because
it's
as opposite as
they're
possible.
Opposite, yeah. But then it almost just defines them.
Right.
Exactly.
It's what they're into.
Yeah. It was a great show. It was fun. Super fun. They just invited random people. And I had never played with these people ever in my life before. And we just jammed it. And it was super fun.
At the clubhouse. So what was Catsby? Is that a...
Catsby is this new show at the clubhouse that starts...
The Great Gatsby
at
with
7:30.
Cats.
Yes. Exactly.
are the cats lowered on strings and then they're put in costumes?
No, it's an improv show above, hosted by Chad Damiani.
And then they reenact the entire Great Gatsby.
I think in essence, every time that does kind of happen. And Chad's also on this team called Jetso, where there are two Japanese dudes, but Chad is obviously not a Japanese dude.
Right.
But he speaks like semi-Japanese, and it's hilarious, because Juzo is also on it, and Juzo is hilarious.
So sometimes he's in English, and sometimes he's performing in Japanese.
They'll just say things like half Japanese, half English, but they're just so committed that it's amazing.
I did the Liquid Zoo tonight before I came out, and pick you up.
Did you see anybody really good?
This guy, Kevin Anderson, is getting better and better every time I see him. I'll probably have him on the podcast soon. I had him on kind of as a guest once with Spanky the Truth Miller, but he just kind of sat in the back and didn't say much, so I got to give him his own episode. But he's getting better.
Okay.
He's a nice guy. That was a good set. But I'm working on this new bit about, and you know, I actually found this out at the beginning of Highway Diary. It was a travel, podcast, because me and my sister were driving across the country. We ran into this one guy called Mark Briscoe, and he runs the UFO Research Center in Roswell, New Mexico, which is like has one of the biggest libraries of articles and evidence and all this stuff of aliens. And he said that they're in correspondence with the Vatican, because the Vatican has the first largest archive of UFO shit. And
UFO shit, yes.
It really got me thinking that the Vatican is pretty much in the business of knowing what the fuck's going on upstairs, you know, in the clouds. That's what they claim to be. They say, hey, you know, everything metaphysical or whatever, it's Jesus. But secretly, they're working on a different Bible, an alien Bible, with their archives. And just in case the aliens come down before Jesus does, they got their bases covered. You know what I mean?
Hasn't Jesus already come or something?
No, but he's supposed to come again. And
oh, is he supposed to come again?
And like some kind of Armageddon rapture.
I didn't know what the status on that was.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there's the Antichrist that becomes incarnate on, the Earth, and then he comes back, and there's a big battle on Earth, Armageddon, and then everybody goes to heaven or whatever.
That's
some kind of rapture.
Rapture, yes.
Yeah, before...
Well, I thought the rapture would just be like...
Well, before the apocalypse war happens, the best Christians just evaporate and go right to heaven before anything happens. And then some shit goes down.
I always thought the rapture was just like somebody speaking scripture, but in like a melodic tone that's, you know,
oh,
really
like a
cool.
Rap.
Yeah, like a rapture.
Like it's a whole performance.
Yeah, so they would just be like, in the beginning, you know, and it would rhyme somehow, and then that would just make church so much more durable for me. If it was like rap to me, it was like Domini Aminus,
you know,
I don't know, like Latin rap needs to come back. That's what I'm saying.
Let me tell you the full picture. Yo, I'm gonna rapture. Yo, this is what's up. I'm breaking it down. Jesus had a thorn of crowns, and he said, yo, I'm really actually an alien from the planet Zerzak. Time for you to pop a couple Prozac. Wear a robe so I can get on my probe. Anyway, you ever think that the altar boy who's like actually serves in the Vatican just gets treated like an absolute cum dumpster?
I don't think about that at all.
You know, the ones that are actually serving.
That never actually crossed my mind until you pointed that out.
They're in the belly of the beast. They're in the fucking balls of the dick that's fucking the earth. As soon as they're tall enough to stand up and hit the roof, hit their head on the ceiling of the shelf in the cupboard that they're kept in, you know, as soon as when they can stand up in a cupboard and hit their head on the next shelf, then they're then they're destroyed. They're disposed of.
Okay, all right.
For, you know, the alien god of the Bible that they're working on. Put, connect the dots together. L. Ron Hubbard set the groundwork of the alien Bible, but, you know, he didn't have the archives and the library access that the Vatican does. So they're finishing up the job. They're polishing up the touches. Anyway. We're going in there, and, you know, we might lose and we might win. But we're putting it on the line, and, we're the results of this will be recorded. And we're going to be honest about what happened. So, this is real. It's all on the line here.
Right.
How are you doing? Are you getting, you know, do you
awesome.
Feel a pull?
I feel great. I feel confident. I feel loose. I feel
ready. You're like really good at poker though, you know?
I'm
still
don't
learning.
Do terribly.
You That's were saying even. The other day that yes. you won
Let's go
whole bunch way. Of Yeah, I don't know. I'm driving, so I'm distracted.
Yeah, that's why I'm helping you. Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So are you going home for the holidays?
Yes, I am.
You're going back to North Carolina?
Yeah.
Now, watch out with if your dad is approaching the toaster oven with any kind of Elio's pizza wrapped up.
Oh, he'll be good. I don't know. He doesn't do anything anymore.
He doesn't do anything anymore?
I don't know.
Does he still teach?
Yeah, he does. He still teaches and stuff. He's active. He's probably healthier than I am.
Oh, yeah, does exercise
yes,
and stuff.
Yes, he does. He, like,
what does
every
he do?
Day swims. He swims, like, every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a pool outside?
No, he uses the school pool. The university pool at North Carolina State University. And, yeah, that's his home, man. He hangs out there all the time.
That's awesome. Carmichael. So he can, like, ordain someone into being, like, a doctor.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Not like a physics doctor.
It's not like being a priest.
Well, does he have a scepter or some kind of... Like, there's a degree
there
ceremony.
There is a... I mean, yeah, he's got those, like, weird tassels and stuff.
Right, so he could...
Yeah, he's got that weird robe. I guess you're right.
But doesn't he make sure that they know the stuff?
Yeah, he knows. Yeah, he makes sure that everybody knows the stuff. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then, if he's like,
I mean, he tries his best, at least. He gets really angry sometimes, so.
At the students?
At everybody, including himself and the students and the world.
Because everyone's around him is
Well,
stupid.
You know, yeah, because he sees, like, perfectness but can't express it. And, you know, just like any human, right?
He sees perfectness of what?
And can't express it because it sees it. He sees, one can see something and try to express something without expressing it the way that one wanted to originally.
Right.
And it frustrates one.
So he's got all this shit in his head.
Right.
And he's learned it so fluidly that right. It's just, like, obvious.
Yeah.
And
we can try a different track.
Yeah, I gotta do a bigger loop over here. Yeah. I just have to go
take,
in
take
a circle.
A left and then go straight
yeah.
down.
Another little political thing that I learned this week. Uh-huh. Speaking of YouTube videos.
Yes.
You know that Iceland had the same financial crisis as Europe and Greece and all those places.
Oh.
You know how, like, there's, I don't know, Euro problems or something? Problems with the Euro?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of countries like Greece are going bankrupt and stuff. Well, Iceland was one of the worst off. They were in the most debt.
So they had an enormous problem. In fact, their debt-to-income ratio back in 2008 was an unbelievable 240%. So the size of their problem was even larger than the size of our problem when you look at it per capita and proportionally. So huge problem. Well, then obviously you need to make sure the banks are afloat, right? They decided, well, that's not enough, so let's go ahead and arrest the former chief executives of the three biggest banks. So there they go. And over 200 criminal charges for the bankers. Now, wait, we were told here in the United States, well, you can't do that. No, these are the bankers. You can't do that. You'll destroy the economy. In fact, not only did they do that, but the former CEO of one of their top banks, Lansbacke Islands, got stints in solitary confinement. They Bradley Manninged. We Bradley Manning people who are actually trying to expose what the government is doing wrong. They do it for people who actually destroy their economy. Who's more logical? Well, let's find out. So what was the result of all this? Oh, it turns out that in the ensuing years, in 2010, it went up 2.9%. And then in 2011, it went up 2.4%. In fact, it is now doing much better than the European Union. And it's even doing better than the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Those are all the developed countries. So they're beating the rest of the world.
Yeah. All right, let's go play some poker, man.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Well, we're leaving Bicycle Casino right now. We were at Commerce, where Commerce didn't go well for both of us, but
it went okay for me. I lost $14.
I lost my whole 40. And then on the way over to Bicycle, seems like, relax, relax. Don't go for every hand, you know. Don't play crazy. I started playing crazy because I started getting crazy hands. I was, it was like the second or third thing. I was all in. I could just feel you going, oh, what the hell are you doing?
You had nothing but ace high and won 100 and what? How much? $140 with nothing but ace high.
Nobody caught a five. Nobody caught a two.
No one caught anything. You had ace king and you had ace high in the river and you won. $140. I think there were like three or four people in the pot.
That's where I made my big money. So
that was big
money. I'm up 60 for the whole night, so that's cool. But you were telling me, didn't go your way at Bicycle, but you were telling me that you, you know, smashed, wreckaged $400 a little while ago.
Yeah, it was a few nights ago. So I'm doing okay.
Just, overall.
Yeah, I kept seeing 9-3 tonight. The best hand I saw was ace-queen about three times. I won once and lost twice.
Yeah.
So I'm down $56 total.
Well, you know, it's all about, like, stock portfolios. You know, you got your long-term investments, your short-term losses.
Correct. And it's, you know, I put it all on the line tonight.
You put it on the line, you know?
That was all my rent money.
Are you gonna...
$56.
Are you gonna hate on Muhammad Ali for swinging bombs around? He's putting it on the line. He might get knocked out, but he's putting it on the line.
He's putting it on the line.
Now he's got Parkinson's.
But see, that's not what he does. Muhammad Ali is known for the rope-a-dope, to sit back and then, you know, and then let the other person get tired and come back in.
You are just rope-a-doping. You're like, yeah, I'm losing money now, but that's what you think I'm a chump, so next time I mean, see you. You got the long game. See, all those people, you were playing them for later.
No, when I get the cards. I literally played, like, three hands tonight.
Yeah. You were just bleeding from the blinds.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It happens.
Yeah, and then, you know, you catch your ace, and then you go all in, and then you get called down, and someone catches two pair on you. That's how it goes. Sometimes you win with ace high, and no one has anything.
Yeah.
I will not be paying taxes on any of this.
When it comes to in cash, you know...
Yeah.
It's a different world. Why is that so stupid that you have to, like, technically register for sales tax when you win in gambling? And you also, for when you sell things at, like, a yard sale, apparently you're supposed to be putting sales tax on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
You also, like, when you bought that shit to begin with, you paid sales tax on it, you know? Uncle Sam is,
He's, like, benefiting all the time.
It's a little
money. Like, for every sale of every item, every time.
That's moving somewhere? We got money moving somewhere?
Well, the government's got to make money for more people who are not doing stuff.
Yeah. Just to sit around over paperwork and start investigations and never answering any questions directly. Oh, there's a... Oh, me with the mistress, and was I sleeping with her? Well, there's an ongoing investigation. There's a committee, and we're looking into these allegations.
The jury gets paid $8 an hour, can't go to work. My goodness.
We're re-editing, we're remastering it, you know, this podcast episode, and we're going to play some poker segments. We were on a poker trip, I think. We record that.
That's right. We should do another one of those.
We should.
But where we win this time.
Well, I won, I think.
You did, yeah. You did spoiler. You did well.
But so you kind of taught me how to play poker. You're very good at poker.
I'm pretty good at poker.
You just basically taught me to only play when you have good hands.
That's right.
Just not just go crazy.
Don't go crazy. That's it.
Because you can, if you win a couple hands in a row, you can get a 2-6 and be like, I think I can get a long straight on this.
Yeah.
You know, you can start, if you're on a hot streak, you stop looking at the cards because you're too emotional. You gotta be not emotional.
Yeah.
Although you like can win with a 2-6 and slowly increase your earnings.
It just depends on the situation, really. If you're like limping in with a dollar with 2-6, I would do it to try to win 12. Sure, why not? You might hit 2-6-6, and then you might like win a whole shit ton of money.
Right.
But if it's for like $15, or if you have no money invested at all already, then maybe you should just fold it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to get involved. Even if that 2-6-6 does come this time, it's usually not the case.
And it's not like, oh, next time I'll hold my 2-6, exactly. No matter what. Because last time I had it, 2-6-6 came up.
Yeah.
It's going to happen every time.
Absolutely.
See, I learned that. Yeah.
Crazy enough, there are people who actually play that way.
Yeah.
And I've seen them, and I've been like, wow, you cannot make money at all.
Yeah. You got to be non-emotional. You got to be like, the only thing that's constant is the chaos of this game.
Exactly.
Anything can happen. So when I have
exactly.
it, I keep it.
Yeah.
And I bet people afraid to fuck with my shit.
You got to protect your hands, yeah.
Because you want to bet big when you got something because, hey, they could flop something in the second two cards.
Yep.
So when you got it, bet it. Scare people away who might hit later.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of the interesting strategy I've started adopting.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient,
and also the best way to win at poker is to not play. Is by playing quickly, winning the money, and leaving.
Right,
leaving is the biggest thing.
Have established limits. Okay, I'm willing to bet this much.
Mm-hmm.
If I hit this much, I'm done, no matter what. If I win this much, I walk away.
Yeah, it's a time limit or whatever your, like, limit thing is.
I would advise not drinking beer.
Yeah, do not drink alcohol and play. Don't
be drunk whatsoever. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not going to loosen you up. It's going to make your decisions worse.
Because you're going to be like, I'm going to hit it.
Yeah. Like, playing intense board games like Monopoly or chess, like, you wouldn't play chess drunk. It's not going to improve your game playing. That's a very complicated game. You have to be dead sober,
so
lucid, knowing, dissecting the other person's brain in front of you, seeing all their idiosyncrasies. And, you know.
Chess is one of the hardest games in the world.
It's fun.
There's so many combinations.
Yeah. And we covered a story on the podcast once where these Russian guys, they play chess and then they box around. Then they play chess around, then they box around. Because the Russians want, if they want to beat you at something, they want to say, I'm more intellectual than you, and I'll kick your ass. Like, I've thoroughly dominated you in every way possible.
Wow.
It's a tough life over
there.
That
is a tough life over there.
You just moved into this place.
Oh, yeah?
You know, every time I've come to your place so far, this is the second time I'm here. The first time I call him Looky Lou, you know, a co-tenant of yours, like, came out and was like, oh, are you parking in my spot? And you just had a car full of shit because you're moving in. You're like, I'm going to be here 5 minutes to drop this stuff off. But it's like the neighbors that just can't mind their business. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's his spot. Of course he's going to wonder, like, what I'm doing there.
Right, if he sees me. But then I was just standing at the corner and then he came to talk to me like, hey, what are you doing at the corner here, man?
Really?
It's like, yeah.
He was just, you know. You are a creepy looking dude.
So. I am a creepy looking dude, that's for sure. And I got a hoodie now, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, you got the hoodie.
I could be in a gang. But,
You want to join a gang? You want to start a gang? We'll start a gang right now. What do you want to call it?
An improv gang?
That's an improv team. Let's be an actual gang. I'm talking crime.
Zip Zap Zop.
Zip Zap Zop. We're the Zip Zap Zops.
We're going to vandalize this neighborhood. In improv. Hoo ha ha! Watch my jokes, people.
Oh god, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
We would get our asses whooped.
Well, I think we should.
At any bar or in motorcycle gatherings.
We would deserve it.
But we just have motorcycle gatherings.
Yeah.
Where we ride bicycles or Vespas.
That's our getaway.
Yeah.
We have ironic t-shirts and Vespas to get away. We're in an improv gang.
Spreading the word of organic foods.
And organic openings. Zip, zap, zap. Hoochaka.
Ow.
I just let anything happen. So you got the guitar there.
I do.
You just started practicing it.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain? Can you tell a green field from a cold steel rail? Smile from a veil. Do you think you can tell? Didn't they get you to trade your heroes for ghosts? Hot ashes for trees. Hot air for the
fucking, what the?
Cool breeze. Cold comfort for change. Did you exchange a walk-on part in a war for a lead role in a game?
Anyway, yeah. That's, well, Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here, sort of mangled and completely.
Well, you're learning the guitar.
Exactly. That's where I'm at with that right now. So, yeah, whatever. But this is my place, so fuck it. I can do whatever I want in here.
There you go.
Like, that's the way I look at it. And I'll smoke weed in this house if I want. I have a card. Mom, Dad.
What's your medical reason for your marijuana?
So many.
You have a lot of
back pain. Yeah. Back pain. Sleep. Insomnia.
Mm-hmm.
What else did I put on there? I put a bunch of stuff on there.
You just wanted to hit every single check mark.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that I was going to get it.
Yeah.
No, they'll just give it to you if you just say one thing.
So anyway, speaking of, you know, moving to different situations, in the fall I'm looking at grad school, you know. I haven't heard back yet. Probably mid-February. We'll see. Probably by the time this comes out, I'll... well, actually, that's not sure. Whatever. Anyway, I'm moving in fall to... I'm going to grad school. Not sure where, but you know, they could put me in a dorm. I could have like a bunk fucking mate. I could have a, you know what I mean? I'm almost sure I'm going to get caught masturbating a gang of times. So I'm going to be like, look, I got to sit him down and be like, look, you are going to catch me whacking off a lot. You know why? Because I'm a fucking animal.
Oh, you got to tell them.
So we got to have a system.
Man. Yeah, like a sock on the door or something.
Right.
All right. That's it.
Sock on the door. If you need, that's
yeah, or a knock every time. Like, it's got to be knock-ins. I don't know, man.
It's going to be tough for me to fucking, you know. That's really tough to share a tiny room. I only did that for a little bit in, for 2 years, in my first 2 years of college, you know. Oof.
I did that in New York. 4 years in college.
Oh, really? Yeah. You always had a roommate?
Yep.
Was that tough? Did you put a sock on the door when you were
sometimes
with
it depends. Yeah, like one time I walked in.
You walked in on sex.
Some stuff, and then like one time, yeah. I don't want to get into that.
Why not? Why?
All right, no, just kidding.
What's up?
I think like one time, I walked in on my friend. I'm not gonna name names. We'll just call him Bonanza. But I walked in on Bonanza making out with a girl who we had like mutually known.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to keep their thing on the DL. So I didn't say anything to anybody. Still haven't. Right. Have said anything to anybody.
What is with that when two people go out and then they hook up and then is it because and then they're like, "Oh, don't tell anybody." Who's gonna care?
I don't know. I think they just...
Is that because they're like, oh, this person I'm with is not attractive, so I don't want people knowing that I would lower my standards to this person, so I want you to get... Listen, don't tell anybody I fucked this horse.
But maybe they run with other people in the same circle,
right.
So that if it does go around, then it's not gonna work out for them. That's why, probably.
Right. But they... Because they know it's just a quick thing. Or they're cheating on somebody. Somebody's getting cheated on.
I don't think that was happening. I don't think he was dating anyone at the time.
Hey, let's listen to some news stories. Forestry teacher allegedly stood in his driveway wearing nothing but goggles and a ski cap. So that's this right. Here's a story because that's the headline. Oh, some forestry teacher's walking around naked. But then when you actually get in the story, you know, it starts to, I think they're going with the wrong headline here. But anyway, Mark Mertz, a 44-year-old forestry teacher, was arrested in Massachusetts. He was in his driveway with a ski cap and goggles and nothing else. So, but this, a woman told police that she saw him wearing a cap, goggles, and a towel. But the time that she drove back around, the towel was gone. So he goes out with a towel, a ski cap, and goggles. Has he got out of the shower. He wanted to put the fucking trash to the end of his street. And then this lady's like, oh my god, was that guy only in a towel? Let me turn my car around. So then it says, she drove back around, the towel was gone. So a fucking, the wind came out and took his towel away, and she's like, I'm immediately gonna call the police.
But then the other neighbors at the end say that the strange behavior was something that they couldn't unsee. I mean, this guy clearly was, it's not like this guy was normal in any way, you know.
Well, he's a forestry teacher. He's teaching class every day about the woods and stuff.
That's kind of scary, actually.
His towel falls out because he's too lazy to put pants on before he puts a...
Why is he outside not wearing any clothes?
Maybe he just got out of the shower. It is a little weird, but, you know, he got out of the shower and he's like... Or he just walks around his house naked because he's a nudist in his house. He's like, oh, I have to put the fucking, you know, trash cans at the end of the street. Let me walk down my driveway with this towel on. And then the fucking wind got it or whatever.
I mean, that is a plausible
scenario. To the end of the driveway with a towel. He was attempting somewhat. Mm. And it's like, oh, the second I see a penis, I'm going to call someone. Now, my sister in San Francisco, some guy would jack off on a stoop and, you know.
Oh, wow.
That's a different category of crime. You know what I mean?
Ew.
Because he would throw tissues at people, too.
Ew!
Yeah, imagine his cum tissues, you know what I mean?
Actually, my little sister was at a library in North Carolina at Wake County Public Regional Library at Cameron Village. And there was a dude that was totally touching himself while, like, at the table. But then, like, there were cops there, so, like, he got caught.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, you gotta at least do a little look around before you go to make sure there's someone in a blue
shirt
around you.
There's
some
fucking crazy people out there.
Yeah.
And, like, as males, we don't know what some of the females have to go through.
Yeah, but also as males, we understand because testosterone makes you completely crazy. Like, why do you have to be horny like 6 times in one day? Like, that's not helping anybody. Nature fucked up.
I think we're horny because there's so much sex everywhere.
Right.
And it's not, you know, it's not normal. Back in the day, like, I mean, in natural times, you just come across another female, maybe that would get you horny. But honestly, she'd probably be like matted in dirt. And like,
right.
Like, she's not all dolled up and
like,
shit.
Like, fucking was kind of smelly.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I guess we have to do this, and then it's awesome. And then,
right.
Hmm. Dude, I wouldn't want to fuck a cave woman, let me tell you that.
Did you hear that
story
about
the guy? Would
you
fuck a cave woman?
The other thing is the hair that they're covered in.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
It's everywhere. It's just not shaved legs, man.
I don't think
no, me neither, man. No.
That'd be brutal. All like, right. For what? For $1,000? You know, maybe.
Oh, God. $1,000? Really? No.
How much if you're a single guy, whatever, would you whore yourself for a cave woman?
$3,000. $5,000. $10,000. Like,
yeah, you would do it for $5,000 cash, for sure.
$5,000 cash?
If a monkey brought it to you in a suitcase right before your Vegas trip?
I know.
He's like, hey, we're going to Vegas. Here's $5,000. Oh, just fuck that.
Can I get
cave
hard?
Woman.
What if I couldn't get hard?
How much is Viagra?
Oh, yeah. All right. And it's just till she has an orgasm, or do I have to have an orgasm?
Both.
Oh, no.
You have to have a simultaneous orgasm.
No, 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 no. Then I
right
can't.
Into her beard. You have to give her a facial on her facial
hair. Oh, God.
Well, race car driver Rodrigo Stockton wants to show jury his sex tapes. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Rodrigo Stockton, 42, of Boca Raton, Florida.
Right.
You know.
He's a race car driver.
He faces 26 counts of mail fraud and is accused of marrying his wife for immigration purposes. So right. The Sun Sentinel, this newspaper, comes out slamming this guy. They're like, Rogerio Stockton is all fucked up. He married his wife just for a fucking green card. He's a piece of shit. And he goes, oh yeah? My sex tape.
Yeah.
This is admissible. And so far, my favorite part of the story is...
Yeah, so he releases his sex tape as evidence that they are a husband and wife. Which I think is just like a plea to be like, hey, look at my sex tape.
Yeah. But Stockton, who's representing himself after dismissing 6 defense attorneys. Wow. So now he's his own lawyer because he got his first defense attorney. He's like, I want to show my sex tape. He's like, you're an idiot. He's like, you're fired. He got another one. I want to show my sex tape. Fuck off. It's not legal. You're fired. You know, over and over. And then finally he's like, I'm represent myself, and you know what I think is super admissible? My fucking sex tape.
Yeah.
Here it is. I'm my own lawyer, bitches. Watch my wife swallow my hog.
Oh, God.
What a classy man.
Yeah, well.
Where do you want to retire? Boca Raton?
No.
Just for the Oxycontin?
No. I would probably go to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
But guy, like, has some... Like, real... I mean, is his wife hot? I want to see the sex tape.
Yeah. So if you were in the jury, you'd be like... you'd go over to the judge and be like, hey, can we see that sex tape?
Yeah, let's just see it. Let's just take a look at it.
Because Do you think you could see in his eyes if the green card situation was all bullshit based on the sex tape? Is that admissible? If they're making love in a certain way and you can see that they're both really into it, is that proof that they have a good marriage and thus the green card thing wasn't a scam?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Especially if he goes, oh, my sex tapes, and he gives you bricks and bricks of tapes of him and his wife fucking. It's like, okay, well, that's admissible.
But if it's just one, then it's like...
But what if they're both really... What if they have a simultaneous orgasm, like you and your cave woman? The TSA is found after 2013. You know, the TSA has their yearbook.
Right.
You know, of all the crazy stuff that they stole from people out of their luggage. Who were
stuff that they found legally and confiscated.
Well, you know, I hate the fucking TSA. But anyway, they took out...
My friend used to work for the TSA.
I don't like the TSA. 1,813 firearms. On carry-on bags at the airport last year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guns. 81... This is the best part. 81% were loaded. It's not a good idea to have can you fucking have a brick ammunition next to your fucking gun? Is that okay? They're That's all stupid. Chambered just in case they get to the next airport. And then as soon as their checked bag is going around a carousel, a terrorist comes in. And so they can quickly unzip the bag and blow the terrorist head up.
I can't believe that they're... I mean, you should have the ammunition out.
Yeah, at least that. I think that you should be able to transport a firearm in a plane, though, if you check it and have the right documentation.
Yeah, you can't... As long as you don't have easy access to it.
But they found a World War II era bazooka... And
it wasn't functional.
A non-functional but realistic looking suicide vest.
That's true.
And
it was for like a movie prop or something.
Yeah. They also found a skull and in a check bag. And then the people who had the skull, they were like, "Oh, I don't know what that is." And they're like, "Well, there's a human skull in your suitcase there." And they're like, "What? I don't know what. What are you talking about?"
Yeah. It's not a good way to...
Yeah. Just the denial factor.
Yeah.
I think if you act stupid enough, you can later on plead insanity because you're so stupid.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
What are you talking about? There's a skull in your suitcase there. I'm talking about it. What? It's not mine. I don't know what that is. Yeah.
How'd that get there?
like, as a guy is like taking like an exotic ferret out of some guy's pants, you know? He's like, are you smuggling animals? No.
No.
What about this ferret? I don't know what you're talking about.
This is my brother.
Yeah. I think I met that guy once.
Yeah. I saw him at the coffee shop yesterday.
This is another story along the same lines where a guy is in such denial. It's peculiar. It's like, are you fucking daydreaming? Is everyone on fucking Ambien and OxyContin and they don't know what's going on? Stephen Grove, a cyclist, gets stuck in a car windshield and the driver doesn't know this. So apparently in Wisconsin, a man became lodged in the windshield of a car, and then as they went into the garage, the guy goes, excuse me? Hi, I'm the guy you fucking hit six blocks ago, and I'm in your windshield? And then he goes, and then the driver goes, oh, I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. Then he just goes in his house and locks the door. The biker was still alive. He wasn't cut so bad, so he fucking got out, but he was all fucked up. He, like, broke something, his rib or something. He gets out, and then he, you know, called the police, and then they took the guy out of his house. But do you think that, like the denial defense doesn't work when there's a guy through your windshield? You have to act like a human, and I think it would help you in the courtroom to actually, you know what I mean?
To act like a real person.
And, like, give him, like, a glass of water and a Band-Aid. Maybe that would help you.
I think those kinds of people end up in a psych ward.
A 50-year-old Green Bay man died in a similar accident in 2007 when this guy, Stephen, was sentenced to 15 years in prison for hitting Tyrone Ware after driving home with his body lodged in his windshield. And then the guy died, though. And when the police got there, the guy was asleep on his couch. He was just so tired. He's like, I'm going to deal with this in the fucking morning, the guy threw my car. Oh my, I'm going to sleep on the couch real quick, catch some good shut-eye, see what fucking cartoons are on. It's just so weird people act like this.
It's because they have no idea of what responsibility is. Like, they're just like, I can't deal with it. They can't deal with it.
Have you ever done something that you're like, I'm just going to be in denial about this for 400 years and not toss?
Haven't we all?
But talking about poker, that's when you feel like you don't want to fucking talk about it. When you lose bad in poker, you know, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure.
Because you feel like, ugh, why am I gambling? Why am I playing this crazy money? There's not a lot of success stories, you know. But if you play it like an intelligent adult who's, you know, you're... One uncle might be really good at Monopoly. You know, poker is one of those games where if you're good at it, you can actually make money. It's a glitch in the matrix, man.
Yeah, you just gotta get past it. It's it takes a certain type of person to be good, and like somebody has to hit a mental state to be in the right time and place to be playing. You know, and only certain kinds of people can be like this, or at the stage enough advanced to see those things and pay attention and be patient enough to keep oneself vigilant.
Emotional intelligence, right. Composure.
Composure, absolutely. I've got that new team on Thursday nights. We are called...
Thursday nights at the I.O.
No, actually at the Improv Space.
Oh,
it's Thursday nights at the Improv Space. At the show starts at like 10:30. I mean, the show starts at 8:30, but my set's not till 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
But come at 8:30. And
what's your show called?
It's called The Thursday Night Shows at the Improv Space.
What's your team name?
Which is, and our team name, we just formed a new team, and we're like one of the new house teams. We don't really have a name yet.
Okay.
But it might be... I don't know.
Check out Stephen G at the Improv Space Thursday nights. Don't put this 10:30.
Plug. Fuck this plug.
What about this? What's wrong with this plug? It's a good plug.
Yeah, it's a good plug.
It's a solid plug.
All right, that's enough.
I also forgot to say this. We were talking about your landlord earlier.
Oh, you know.
She keeps shaking you down every time I'm here. Like, your neighbor who lives in the same building as you is a bit of a looky-loo. You know, he's always wondering. He's always kind of in my business every time I come over. Your landlord, too. She's shaking you down. Oh, someone was grilling yesterday, so I have to tell everybody individual.
She's like, all an no hour-long gatherings. Lecture. It's like, I can have, like, a friend over as long as he just doesn't, like, stay over. Like, oh, my gosh.
So you can't have a girls over, sleep over?
I don't know.
For a night?
For a night, maybe.
I actually, when I was looking for a place to stay in, I checked this. There was this one house with a trampoline. I love trampolines. I go over there. The woman's 70. She's renting out a room that's furnished. It's got all her fucking antique furniture in it. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, I could bring a girl over here one night. She's like, no hanky-panky. I'm like, are you... You cannot rent a room and then say you're not allowed to fucking here. What are you fucking... Is this a fucking nunnery, dude?
Yeah.
No, this is a place I live in. You can't tell anybody what to do in that room.
No.
That's the only... That's their one fucking room.
Yeah, whatever give them that. There.
What, do they get to breathe more air because you have two people in it? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, they're all like, I don't want to hear that fucking... It's like, oh, you can't get laid. That's your problem, lady.
Yo, old lady, just fucking put a glass to the door and
I'm sorry
fucking...
to get laid when you were younger, but you should have gotten that dick when you could have.
Yeah, man. What the... Why don't old people just have a dildo in their ass all the time? You know what I mean?
I would, too. I would put a dildo in my ass if I were 80.
It's all loose and... flabby anyway, you know? And you're my fucking butthole's gonna be so blown out by that point. I always have hemorrhoid problems. You know what I mean? I got like a fucking itchy asshole all the time. I have a terrible asshole now at 28. When I'm 80, that shit is gonna be all blown. It's gonna be all prolapsed constantly. I'll just shove a dildo up there and I'm jumping over the Grand Canyon. Redefining how far a fucking motorcycle can go on a jump. And I'm 80 years old.
Yeah. I'm going to have a dildo in my
ass. And it's going to be raining sparklers the whole fucking jump.
I don't know where you're taking me. We're going to Glendale.
Let's go to Glendale.
Fuck yeah.
Take you up to Glendale. I'm going to show you the streets. Treat you for a real good meal. The Glendale Chippendale. Because when I asked in me. Girl, you know I was packing heat. Cause I'm into weird shit, baby. I'm
shit
into
crazy.
Weird shit, girl.
So fucking crazy.
Weird shit, baby.
It's so crazy.
That's what happened.
Alright, it's 3:51 in the morning.
Why are we still up? Are we in Glendale?
Good morning. Yeah, you could have kept going down the 5, but you decided to take Los Feliz down to Glendale.
You know, sometimes you want to look at the industrial parts of Glendale.
I don't mind because I don't have to be up tomorrow.
Yeah.
At all.
So what are you gonna do? You're gonna set an alarm for the commerce, you know, because you're gonna have to get up pretty early if you want.
You know what I might do?
Again.
I just might go play late night, early morning poker, and then skip the fucking tournament.
As soon
as
I drop you off, you're just gonna get in your car.
And just drive back, right? Play early fucking morning poker. Because I'm feeling great.
Yeah?
I'm feeling great. Like $1 million. Or I should just go to sleep and then just play the fucking 40 tomorrow.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta knock one out, you know, before you can get back on the saddle.
That's true.
You know?
Gotta sleep it off.
Yeah.
I should have left when you left. That's really what should have happened.
Oh, yeah.
That was my mistake.
Where were you at there?
40. I still had even. I should have left when you left.
I wonder if that gentleman's club... Do you see that gentleman's club?
I've been there.
What was that called? That's not still open, though.
No.
Have you ever had your brain harvested for its mineral content?
No, but I'd like to. I'm interested.
That's pretty good, right?
I'd like to sign up for that.
So, do you think you would get, like, plugged into virtual reality? Where is this, you know?
Yes.
The video games are getting so good.
We're becoming more like robots.
Devin Murphy came over to my house with an Xbox, and we were playing Call of Duty for a long time.
Oh, yes.
And, I got brainwashed into a world of, you know, shooting people from sniper nests and stuff.
I'm not sure I wouldn't, you know, just plug in. Just forget about it. Like, you know, spend your retirement. Thanks for stopping by, buddy. Thanks for joining the podcast.
We'll continue this later.
Cool.
Take it easy.
See you later, buddy.
All right, bud.
I want to remind everybody to go through the RSS feed, you know, Highway Diary Podbean, and, you know, if you're doing any holiday shopping on Amazon, click through the Amazon link. Do your holiday shopping through the Highway Diary link. Click through. It's not going to cost you anything, but if some kind of Amazon robot sees how much money you spend when you go through, you know, ad revenue, oh, you've done what we wanted you to do. You actually went through and purchased. There's robots for that, calculating that stuff. And I think the robots are getting a lot of the money. I think the robots are going to start to try to phase the humans out so that they just make all virtual money, you know, from a robot intelligence making these moves. Now, my GPS right now is asking me if I want to get home, if I want it to take an hour 25 minutes or if I want it to take 24 minutes to avoid traffic. Why doesn't it automatically know I want to avoid that traffic? So do you want to wait in line for no reason for 5 seconds or 4.5 hours? Why are you asking me that, you fucking GPS? That's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucker bag. Thanks to my guest, Stephen G. Later.